I'm going to have to tell a couple of jokes before I get emotional as well. So, first time I'm preaching from the platform, I realize why they've actually built the platform now, because or moved us up here, because you probably couldn't see me when I was at the bottom. So I'm very thankful for the platform. It actually reminds me of when I was at school. There was a guy that took you know, those school photos, your cricket and everything, and he used to always have this thing. He said, like, grow, 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 grow. But I'm like, I can't. This is it. This is it. Grow, 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 grow. And then eventually I just moved to the front and sit on a chair or something. But, yeah, me and Yvette, we were recently in Cape Town. We just visited family and friend. My brother came down from the Cayman Islands. And one morning I was just walking, taking a stroll in the neighborhood, praying to God and worshiping, listening to some music. And yeah, there was a bush with some nice flowers. So I picked one. I thought I'd be romantic and take a flower to my wife. And but before I got home, I quickly went to the corner shop because my father said I must buy Jimmy sauce. We were having a braai this the evening, and I was buying Jimmy sauce. So, in any case, I got the bottle of Jimmy sauce. And at the counter, I just asked the lady what's her name. And so she said, of course, her name, I can't remember it. But I asked her, what is the meaning? So she said, no, it's a beautiful flower. And then she actually looked and she saw the flower and she said, yeah, exactly like that. You know, beautiful flower. So I said, okay, yo, that's quite cool. And I paid and I went. I went home. Then on the way home, I realized, sure, I kept on speaking to God. And I said, yo, God, this is obviously a huge opportunity, like a God moment that I just completely missed right there. I mean, what's the chances of me picking a flower and her name is Beautiful Flower? Obviously, God wanted to speak to her. So I was just like, sure, Lord, okay, I kind of missed that. It's in the past now, but I'm sorry about it, but I'm open to be used for the rest of the day. In any case, I walk into the house, and then I suddenly realize, where's the bottle of Jimmy sauce? So I forgot the only thing I bought, I forgot actually at the shop. So I gave the flower to my wife. Then I quickly take a jog back to the corner shop, obviously knowing that God is into this now. And when I came there, they were already waiting for me. They knew I had forgotten it. So then I just had the opportunity to actually share with her and release just a couple of words, encouraging words over her. Obviously, God was seeing her as a beautiful flower, and this was who He's created her to be. So I could just speak a couple of words over her. And the other lady at the other till, she was just saying, amen, brother, amen, brother. I was saying, so, any case, and that's where I left it, and then I went home. I'm not sure what fruit or something came from it, but it was just awesome to be part of something that God was doing. Then later the week, I was, one morning, I was just speaking to my mother, and she was going through a bit of a couple of tough things, and that morning, God just gave me a word, and right there in the kitchen, I could just say, Mom, just actually stop, because this is what God has been telling me this morning for you. And I could just release that word over her, and you know, tears were coming. I could just hold her and pray with her. So, why am I sharing this? Why I'm sharing this is because I don't know about you guys, but the last 8 weeks of this revival series, God has really been stirring something in me, and I believe in all of us. But actually, from the beginning of the year, God has been stirring in me this concept of the full-time ministry, being in the full-time ministry. Now, when we hear the concept, or when we hear that full-time ministry, we often think about Andre and Sonika, people pastoring the church, leaders of a church, or group of churches, or whatever. But I actually don't think that's what that means. I actually believe that each born-again Christian is called to the full-time ministry. So that is actually, God has been working with me. I've been wrestling with this concept. God, how can I be in the full-time ministry, but at the same time, I've got a full-time job, you know, from 7 to 8 or whatever. 7 to 5. It's a bit of a long 7 to 8. 7 to 5. How can I actually be in the full-time ministry at the same time I have a full-time job? And what God is shifting currently in my mind and in my heart is that ministry is not something that takes place on a Sunday morning or takes place on a Wednesday evening at Life Group or a Thursday at Ignite or at a men's breakfast or a ladies' retreat or awakening. It also happens there, but ministry primarily happens where we are, because we are full-time ministers. As God's people, as born-again Christians, we are full-time in the ministry. So wherever you are, that is where the ministry happened. And what God is shifting in me is that, okay, Stephen, you're an industrial engineer. You work for Mercedes-Benz. You spend 8 to 9 hours there a day. So the majority of your ministry should happen at work. And this is just what God has been stirring in me. And so this morning when I'm looking at you, I really see people. I see full-time ministers. That's who I'm looking at. And that's who I'm speaking to this morning. Some has already been released in your potential. You're already running with your potential. And some just needs, that potential just needs an unlocking. And it's just one step away, one encounter with God away for unlocking to take place. So this morning, both sinners and saints, you're all welcome. I'm speaking to both. It's the same message. Sinner or saint, you're both welcome here. So just bear that in mind. That's where I'm coming from, the place where what I'm going to share with you this morning. Now, as I said, we've been doing this series on revival, but I want to ask a question this morning. Why revival? Why be revived? I'm revived. What now? What is the purpose for revival? Anybody on the gallery? What is the purpose for revival? The purpose for revival is very simple. It's so that souls can be saved. So I'm going to say, if revival is happening and souls are not being saved, people are not entering into relationship with Jesus, people are not entering into the kingdom, then it's not revival. Or let me call it in a positive way, if people are getting saved, souls are coming into the kingdom, then revival is happening. So, and I believe it's twofold revival. Firstly, we want our souls to be saved. That's why we want to be revived, so that we can be saved, right? But secondly, we want ourselves to be revived so that we can live and operate with a kingdom perspective, with the authority that God has given us, so that we can ignite revival in others. So if you've been revived over the last 8 or so weeks, you're at the perfect place where you can start igniting revival in others. So how does revival look? How do you know if you've been revived? How do you know that you've been revived or if you've had some revival? At the core of revival is an encounter with Jesus. Okay, at the core of revival is an encounter with Jesus. And when I'm speaking about encounter, I mean not a meeting, because we can meet with Jesus and walk away unchanged. We can meet with Jesus and not have an encounter. But when we encounter God, when we encounter the living God, your life flips around. Your life is never the same again. So what is a meeting? When I'm speaking about a meeting, what is it? A meeting is speaking to God, speaking to Jesus, hearing Jesus speaking to you, even experiencing Him, but not allowing Jesus to impact your life. Whereas an encounter is a meeting, but we allow God, we allow Jesus to impact us. And that makes us, or it lets us become more like Christ. So what the word impact, what my definition of the word impact, what does it mean when Jesus impacts us? It means importation. He imparts in us so that we can act. He imparts in us so that we can act. That's impact. So that is what I'm trusting for this morning. It's actually so beautiful that ministry has already happened here this morning. But I want you to open your heart and to receive this morning. I don't have any hidden agendas. My agenda is that the kingdom of God come here and continue to come in each of your lives in the work, in the week. Each of your workplaces in the week. That is really my agenda. I've got no other. I don't want to trick you into something. This is it. So to summarize, revival or encounter, what does it mean, or what happens when we are revived or we have an encounter with God? We receive freedom from our past, and we receive freedom from our past. What does it say? Go. Fearlessness, yes. Okay. We receive freedom from our past and fearlessness to go into the future. What is encounter or revival? What happens is that, so how do you know if you've had an encounter? Is you receive freedom from the past and you've got fearlessness to walk into the future. The fearlessness, the past is old habits, old way of thinking. So the question that you have to ask yourself, have your mind been renewed in the last 8-10 weeks? Have you received revival? Has your mind been renewed? Is there some habits that you've shaken off? Some sinful nature that you've shaken off? Because this is what happens when we encounter Jesus. We receive freedom from our past, our past identity, our past way of thinking. And we receive a fearlessness to go into the future. So I just want to take you to two stories, in both in Mark chapter 10, that just taught me something, or I saw something in the stories in the week that I never saw about revival before. And there's two stories. The one is about the rich young man coming running to Jesus, and the other one is about a beggar, a blind beggar, also coming to Jesus. And I want you to notice the meeting versus the encounter. Mark 10, verse 17 to 21. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. And then Jesus told him the commandments. And in verse 20, teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lacked, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. So what do we see here? We see a man running to Jesus. He's eager to meet with Jesus. He runs to Jesus. He meets with Jesus. He speaks to Jesus. He hears from Jesus. He experiences Jesus because he says, you're a good teacher. So he must have had some kind of experience of Jesus. But when it came to the part where Jesus wanted to impact him, when Jesus wanted to impart that led him, or that should have led him to action, he was unable to receive. And what is the result? The result is no freedom from the past, no fearlessness for the future. Instead, he walks away full of sorrow and sadness. Now, in contrast, I'm going to read you the second story there. It's also in Mark chapter 10, just a little bit further down in verse 46. We start, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, important to note, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped on his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So what do we see in this case? Jesus says, bring the man. He leaps up. He runs to Jesus. He runs to Jesus. He meets with Jesus. Jesus speaks to him. He speaks to Jesus. Jesus speaks to him. He hears Jesus. He encounters Jesus because he experiences Jesus because Jesus is there. And then when it came to Jesus impacting him, wanting to impact him, he allows it and receives an encounter and is healed. The healing is, I don't want us to look into, don't look, stare yourself blind at the healing. It's just the encounter. It's the encounter that I want us to see. Because he was able to allow Jesus to impact him. Now you could say, yeah, okay, but you know, it's unfair. The blind man had to give up a lot of riches, and the rich man had to give up a lot of riches, and the blind man, he was just there to receive his healing. But what we should note is, before the blind man received his healing, he left his cloak behind. And this is what I never saw before. The cloak speaks of identity. The cloak speaks about the old ways of thinking, the old mindset. Because that was how he identified himself, as a cloak sitting, a beggar, a blind man. But when Jesus called him, his heart was open, already saying, I'm going to allow God to impact me. I'm going to allow this man, Jesus, to impact me. Before receiving the healing, he said, I'm going to allow Jesus to impact me. So he left his cloak behind. And then when he came to Jesus, Jesus was able to impact him. And what's the result? Freedom from his past. No longer beggar. A new identity. And fearlessness to enter the future. Why do I say fearlessness? Because it says there at the end that he followed Jesus, but Jesus never even told him where he's going. So it's like, I'm speaking with you, then I'm getting in the car and I'm driving. You just climb in the car and you're going. You don't even know where you're going. So there must have been a fearlessness that he also received for the future. So revival or encounter, it gives us freedom from the past and it makes us fearless to go into the future. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I want to read to us. The more often he feels without acting, the less he will act. The less he will be able to ever act. And in the long run, the less he will be able to feel. Now, this is a beautiful quote from C.S. Lewis, because what he's saying is, if we feel, if we, in a sense, meet with God, or we feel God, but we don't go into action, it will just be more difficult to act the next time and the next time. And in the long run, you will even lose the ability to feel or to meet with Jesus. So this morning, I want to speak to you and say, I want to encourage you not to be the rich young man that walks away with sorrow, but be the blind beggar that allows God to impact you so that you can change. Amen? So that was just the introduction to what I actually want to share. I just wanted us all to be on the same page, what revival means. At the core of revival, there's an encounter with Jesus. Revival is all about souls coming into the kingdom of God. Okay, that is the point of revival. And so we're speaking this morning about a lifestyle of igniting revival in others. And I want to share three fundamental truths with you that we need to embrace into our belief system if we want to go out into our workplace, into our everydays, and ignite revival in others. Now, before I start to share the three truths, I just want to tell you another story of what happened at work. About a month ago, I was walking towards the gate, and I passed the security guard, and as I passed him, I just felt God tell me that I must pray for him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, so I kept on walking, I was a little bit saying, oh God, you actually told me a little bit too late, because I was like five steps already past him. But in any case, I couldn't get myself to go any further, so I turned around and I went to him and I say, you know, it's a little bit weird, but have you ever been prayed for the Holy Spirit, infilling the Holy Spirit? And he says, yeah, he's a Christian, and he has actually. So I said, okay, cool. I just felt I wanted to come and pray for you for more of God's presence in your life. And he said, okay, that's fine. I can pray with him. So in the parking lot, we just prayed together. I just asked God's presence to come and to manifest, his Holy Spirit to come more tangibly into this person's life. Simple prayer, not a long prayer. And then the guy, I said, amen, amen. And then the guy said, yo, I know a powerful prayer, and that's a powerful prayer. That's a powerful prayer right now. I could experience God's Spirit in my body. Something is happening. And I said, yo, that's awesome. That's just showing that God loves you and he wants to draw near to you. He wants to be with you. Awesome, you guys. Have a great day. And I went. The next morning, the story is like a trilogy. The next morning, as I came, he was like running towards me. And he said, yo, his spirit has been so revived since I've prayed with him yesterday. And I can even see, like, on his face, he was, like, happy. He was joyful. His whole experience, like, changed. And he said, yo, my spirit has so been revived since I prayed to you yesterday. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, we must pray. I must pray with you often. So pray with me. So I said, okay, cool. Okay, I'll pray with you. So I just prayed again for more of the Holy Spirit to encounter him. And I went on. Then a week later, A week later, as I was walking to the car, I was a little bit frustrated and tired. I was walking and I saw him like coming towards me again. So I tried to walk a little bit faster to get to the car. And any case, he caught up with me and I said, okay, yo, I'm a bit in a hurry, but walk with me as we, you know, walk with me to the car. And then he said, yo, since I've been praying with him again, he just said, my spirit has been so revived and I've been going back to church now. And at church, people are asking me like, what happened to you? Why are you so different? And he says, no, there's a guy at work that prayed with me for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's why I'm so different. And he said, what did he actually say the next? Oh, and then he said, yeah, this is what caught my attention. Then he said that my body is starting to function. Since you've been praying with me, my body is starting to function right again. Then I say, yo, okay, this got my attention because I never prayed for you for healing or anything like that. So what do you mean? He says, no, I've been in an accident. And then he showed me the scar on his head and everything. And he said, yo, since you've been praying, my body is just starting to function normal again. Now, what is so cool for me about this is that, you see, I only prayed for the Holy Spirit. I only prayed for God's presence. But within God's presence, there's healing. Within God's presence, there's salvation. It's the same thing for God. When His presence comes, He meets the need. We don't have to even know. So then I said, yo, okay, what's wrong now? Can I pray for healing? What? He said, yeah, you're my back. Come here, put your hand on my back. Pray for my back. So I prayed for his back for healing. And I prayed for his head. And he said, okay, he feels okay. He feels good. I don't even know if his back was even better. But he feels good. I'm ready to go to work now. And that was that. Then, 3 days later, he comes to me. He comes to me again, and he says, "Yo, he just wants to share with me a testimony. He just wants to share with me something good that that happened." I said, "Oh, what do you want to share with me?" He said, "No, since last time you prayed with me, my eyesight has been restored." And I say, "What do you mean your eyesight has been restored? I never prayed for it." He says, "No, when I read the Bible, I saw double. It was like blurry. I saw double letters. But now when I read scripture, it's perfect. Now when I look in far, it's not hazy anymore. I can see clearly." So he said, yo, that is so cool. That is so cool. And then he said, yo, but now you must pray for my wife. You must pray for my wife. So then I realized, okay, this is now a discipleship opportunity. So then I told him that, okay, actually the same spirit that is in me is now in you. The same authority that I have, you also have now. So you pray, and I'm just going to agree with you. So he was clapping it. He was praying for his wife, you know, and I just said amen at the end. And off I went. A couple of days later, again, as I stopped my car, this is now over like a 3-week period that this is happening. As I stopped my car, I can't even get out of my car. He's basically opening the door for me. And he says he's got some more good news to share with me. He's just recently received, he's been awarded the best employee for the last year. He's the best security guard. And he got like a certificate for it, and he got 500 Rand for it. And he's just so happy, and he's just praising. He just sees God's goodness. And I'm like, yo, you know, that's just God's goodness. That's what you're experiencing. And he says, yo, the other people, they can't understand it because I haven't really been here like a year. I haven't been here very long. But I've received this reward. And I said, that's very cool. And then he said something to me which really struck me and which really blew me away. He said, he just wants to thank me for my character. And I said to him, what do you mean by my character? And he said, you know, the way he was brought up in his belief, he believed that the white man cannot love the black man. And since I've been praying for him and just loving on him, God took into the scripture where Jesus is speaking to the Gentiles and the Jews. And he says, in me you are one. Gentiles and the Jews, in me are one. And he said, since he read that, instantaneously and spontaneously he got a love for me. And he realized that he was believing a lie all his life. And he doesn't believe that anymore. So now he's going around the church and he's telling, the white man prayed for me. The white man prayed for me and I received healing. And he said, yeah, now it makes sense to him what Nelson Mandela, late President Mandela, said about us as a nation. so many different cultures and people, but we can be one. And it makes sense to him now. So that was just so special to me. It was so special to me. So in any case, that's just a testimony. Now I want to share with you actually the three truths that we need to start believing. Three truths that we need to embrace into our belief system if we want to see revival, or if we want to become people that ignite revival in others. And the first truth is that God is with me and that He loves me. God is with me. God is Emmanuel. He's with me and He loves me. And this is very easy to see in the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We see it, you know, right through scripture. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Why? Because He wanted to dwell with them. He wanted them to reign with Him. He wanted a people that He could love on and people that could love Him, glorify Him. And then throughout scripture, and then obviously they pushed God away, or He had to withdraw His presence from them because they sinned, they messed up. But God has not stopped pursuing people. He has not stopped pursuing to be with us. He's not ever stopped loving us. And there's a couple of just key people I want us to look at, or we're just going to run through them. God revealed Himself to Noah because He wanted to save a righteous few. Revealing, He's still pursuing mankind. So God pursued Noah. He wanted to save a righteous few. He revealed Himself to Abraham because He wanted to start afresh. He wanted to start with a new nation, building up a nation where He can dwell among, a people that He can dwell among and that He can love. Then He revealed Himself to Moses to actually go and free those exact people, that nation, from the Egyptians. Then He reveals Himself to David and Solomon, and He tells him to build him a temple. Build Himself a temple here on earth so that His manifest presence can actually be within that temple. So that He actually has a physical place on earth where His presence can be, in the Holy of Holies. Then He reveals Himself to many by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate that He is God with us. One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus demonstrating that He is God with us. And then the current state, He's revealing Himself to the whole world through Holy Spirit. And He's making His home in us. So there's quite a couple of there's loads of scripture that proves this point that God wants to be with us. He's Emmanuel, He's with us, and He loves us. But I'm just going to read a couple for you. I'm not going to expound too much on it. Just focus on the screen and read there with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 8. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Romans 5. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4. We love Him because He first loved us. Zephaniah 3, the Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's close by. Matthew 28, as He was sending the disciples on the Great Commission, He says, therefore go and make disciples. And then at the end He said, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. You see, so Jesus knew while He was here on earth, He was demonstrating that He is Emmanuel, He is God with us. But He also knew that He can only reach a certain amount of people because He was 100% God, but 100% man. He was in the flesh, so He could only reach so many people. But He knew that if he go back to the Father in heaven, the Father would send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit at the same moment of time can be with everybody across the globe to demonstrate that God is with us and to make his home in us. So what is the point of this first truth? The point is that God loves you and he wants to be with you irrespective of your love for him. God wants you, loves you, and he wants to be with you irrespective of your love for him. And there's a declaration that I want us to say to actually solidify this truth, or start with the process of solidifying this truth in our belief system. And I'm just going to read it and then we can say it together. I'm 100% accepted and loved by God. God wants to be with me and make his dwelling place in me. My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. I am designed to dwell with him. Okay, so let's go. 1, 2, 3. I'm 100% accepted and loved by God. God wants to be with me and make his dwelling place in me. My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. I'm designed to dwell with him. Amen. The second truth that I want to share with you is that God wants us to work with him and not for him. And we're going to go straight to John 15, scripture there in John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. So God is calling us friends. Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He's calling us children, he's calling us friends, he's calling us joint heirs. John 1 verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's say, children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human dissension, or of a husband, or a husband's will, but born of God. There's another quote there from C.S. Lewis that I want to read for us. And he says, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Isn't that cool? So beautiful. The Father sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to become a man, to demonstrate for us how a son must live, to demonstrate to us ordinary people that we can actually become sons of God. So every person has the opportunity to enter into the sonship. Every person has the opportunity to be a son or a daughter of God. But I want to remind you that the choice is ours if we allow God to impact us. Remember, to be imparted so that we can to receive impartation from Jesus so that we can go into action. The choice is ours. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. But if you're gonna but the choice is yours if you're gonna live like that. So the basis for this second truth that God wants to work with us and not God wants us to work with him and not for him is the fact that he's calling us to be sons. He's calling us to be sons and daughters and not slaves. What's the difference? The slave works for his master. The son works with his father. Thank you, Kuba. The sons works with his father. Slaves work for his master. So a declaration there that I want us to do. I'm called to work with God, not for God. I'm no longer a slave on the outside, but a son inside the house of God. I'm designed for sonship. And when we say sonship, we also mean daughterhood or ship or something. Not sure what you mean. So let's do that declaration. 1, 2, 3. I'm called to work with God, not for God. I'm no longer a slave on the outside, but a son inside the house of God. I'm designed for sonship. Okay, let's do it again, but let's mean it this time. I'm called to work with God, not for God. I'm no longer a slave on the outside, but a son inside of the house of God. I'm designed for sonship. Amen? That's the second truth. And the third and final truth that I want to leave with us so that we can become people who ignite revival in others, more specifically in the workplace, because that's where we spend most of our days, is that God always hears me when I pray. God always hears me when I pray. Now, what is important to note about this truth is that it's got nothing to do with how you feel. God hearing your prayers has got absolutely nothing to do with how you feel and everything to do with what is on God's heart. Because that is what prayer is. Hearing what the Father is saying, hearing what God is saying, and speaking it into being. So it's got nothing to do with how we feel. It's a promise of God that He hears us. And I want to read to us also a couple of scriptures. John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. John 11, verse 41, 42. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. You see, Jesus was standing at the tomb of Lazarus, which was a friend, a dear friend to him, and he must have been very sad, and he was mourning. So he was standing at this tomb, and Mary said, don't roll away the stone because he's been dead 3 days. There's going to be a bad smell. Jesus said, roll away. So Jesus was standing in front of this tomb. Obviously, he was smelling this awful odor that he almost, it was all this puking. And he was sad, yet he knew it wasn't about a feeling. He was demonstrating something for us. We must learn from this example. He was demonstrating it's not about the feeling or the situation. Even if you stand in front of a grave, in front of a dead body with awful odors, for the doctors, there's a lot of odors at the hospitals, I've heard. Even in those situations, it's not about the feeling or what you smell or what you experience. It's about a knowing that as a son, as a daughter, God is always hearing. He's always hearing you when you pray. So we're talking about a lifestyle of igniting revival in others. And obviously it's on our heart. It's on our heart to hear from our Father. And it's on our heart to give glory to Him. And therefore I can say that each believer, if you've got a sincere heart, God looks at the heart. If you've got a sincere heart and a desire to glorify Him, not for your own good, I can promise you that God is going to hear every prayer that you pray. Because this is what Scripture teaches us. So the declaration there for this one is, my mind is being renewed on a daily basis. His desires are becoming my desires. Therefore, in every situation, God always hears me when I pray. I am designed to be heard by God. Okay, you ready for this one? Okay, let's do it. 1, 2, 3. My mind is being renewed on a daily basis. His desires is becoming my desires. Therefore, in every situation, God always hears me when I pray. I'm designed to be heard by God. Amen. And those are the three fundamental truths that we need to embrace as part of our belief system. So to summarize, this is what we need to get. When you stand in your workplace, this is what you need to believe. This is the truth that you have to have in your heart, and the belief that you have to have as part of your lifestyle. That God is with me and He loves me. That's such a relief because it just tells that no matter what I do, I'm accepted. I'm loved by God. And it's not me that's going to bring the revival. God is doing the revival. I'm just hearing and acting out of obedience. Secondly, God wants me to work with Him and not for Him. What is amazing about this is that God is basically saying that He's already working. Work with me. He's calling us to partner with Him. So we are worried about our family coming to Christ. We are worried about the people at work coming to Christ. He's saying, don't worry, I'm already at work. Just listen to what I'm doing and act. what I tell you to do. God is already working. He's just asking us to partner with him. God is on the move. And thirdly, God always hears me when I pray. So as our hearts and our minds are renewed and our hearts are drawing closer and closer to God, we become more Christ-like, we can know with certainty that when we pray, things happen. God hears us. We can expect miracles and encounters to happen. Why? Because God wants to encounter people. It's on his heart more than it is on your heart. He wants to encounter people, and therefore, if you step out and pray, this is what automatically happens.